enough for people to walk through. Thanks, Ed. If you're willing, I would ask you guys to do something that is profound, and that is come this way and cross this piece of wood, and I will explain to you. If you are not willing, do not do it.
Which way?
But come this way.
That way.
That way. Oh, Miss Holly, she's great. Okay. All right, Daniil. Amen. Amen.
She had no choice in the matter.
Cool. Cool. I have to pick it up because I know the kids, if we leave it there, the kids will be using it as a weapon.
Oh, definitely. The line's gone. You can't go back.
No go back.
No straddling it either. No one feeling it.
Prophetically, what has just transpired is something that I'm very excited about. We have crossed the threshold from where we were to where we are going spiritually, as a young church, as a local assembly, and we are not going to go back to what we had before. Things are going to change, and some of those changes will have to be practiced here, and I'm glad some of the parents are here, because I need to explain to you that it's really important with our kids that you train them and help set the example for them, because when people start coming to streams, when our kids are out of order because we don't want to train or because of we just don't want to be inconvenienced, think about the people to the left of you and to the right of you who don't not know Christ, and what the example we're trying to set for them is to bring order and discipline, because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are not converts of Jesus Christ. And who can tell me the difference between a convert and a disciple? Shame? Okay. Right, it's very close. You're very, very close, yes. A convert is a person who kind of uses Jesus Christ as a fire escape, but still wants to live their life as though it's their life. That's what a convert is. And that's what the majority of the Western Church is about. And if you would turn to Revelation 12, verses 10, Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11. Now, I haven't even told you about the disciple, but the disciple is one who's disciplined, who like Shem said, is constantly walking this thing out, having the rest of the body assemble to help them, not necessarily skirt from, but skirt through this, and continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, ever becoming more conformed into His image. Today's message is called Franchise Churches. When we cross that threshold, we no longer were going to be part of a franchise church network. Franchise church network is something I want to explain to you, because it's real important to understand where Streams is going what God is doing and what God is... That doesn't mean we're leaving NRP. No. NRP is embracing what I am preaching, going to preach about today. But let's read what the Apostle John said. He said, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death.'" That last verse is exactly what we are to be. Okay? Some of us are struggling in our walk with certain things, whether it's smoking, which is a natural struggle of the flesh, and God will give you victory, the ultimate manifestation of that victory. But our rallying call against the enemy is, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus did, by the word of testimony, what Jesus is doing, and we didn't care about our lives, how Jesus uses us for his glory to expand the kingdom. Franchise church today is a model that has existed for almost 2,000 years. And this model came into existence at around 390 AD. And it was the pastor-only model. And we've been talking about pastor-only models and how it's an okay model. But for what God is doing in this last day, we have to transition. And you guys, not knowing, by faith, you have crossed that threshold along with me, said that model is no longer pertinent to us. We need to move into the apostolic model, which that means it's the church of Jesus Christ doing the works of the ministry. Amen? It's no longer the pastor. And so what happens is mainline denominations have flourished in this. And they have come to be known as what I call program-based churches. These program-based churches, or franchise churches, do a plethora of the same thing. And what they do is basically invite people to convert them to Jesus Christ, not make them disciples of Jesus Christ. And Satan is at war with us. He hates us. And one of his major tactics that he has used is to lull the church asleep because we have a franchise here. We're doing the same thing as everybody else. And these franchise churches are on the cutting edge of what Christian fatism is all about. What do I mean by that? Well, a lot of them are set up in this way. I will lay it out, and we all know churches that are like this. I call them safe church, but they basically have this structure on Sunday service. They sing a few songs, but not too many. Oh no, God forbid. They may have some special music, and you better pay attention because it's one of their own. You hear the weekly announcements, but don't pay attention to them. They pay their tithes if you want to. It's an option. They listen to a message that's either non-confrontational, non-inspiring, or challenging them. Because after all, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want anybody to not feel discomfort in their walk with Jesus Christ. Because after all, he died for us, and you know, he's brought us into the kingdom, and our life is supposed to be filled with good things, and we're not supposed to suffer any kind of anguish. Right, guys? We receive a prayer, a blessing, that goes over to congregation, and the man of God prays blessings upon you. And then we close in prayer, and we go home, and we do this all within how long? 1 hour. And then guess what? We had the opportunity to do this all over again next week. Isn't that fun? And that's why when I sit down with these people and say, what was Pastor's message today? I don't know, but it sure was good. How many, we've heard this, right? How many of you can say what God has spoken to you at a message. It may not stay with you throughout the week and all, but if you're asked that Sunday, what did God say to you? I'm pretty sure you could come up with something that God touched your heart and challenged you and began to speak to you that's real important to Him, because it's not about me. It's about you hearing what God is saying to the church. And Jesus is trying to emphasize the importance of this so that we understand that this is not the norm. What I had just given to you is not the norm for the church. Because in this program-based church, this franchise church, what you have is you have people that assemble together and they don't know the purpose, they don't know the meaning, and they have no understanding of the direction that they're going. But we're going to church. Okay. But we are the church. And I can say to you that we have successfully been battling that mindset, and so have you, in coming out of this idea that we go to church. Church is wherever the assembly of God's people is. Church is when we're working together to further the kingdom. Church is meeting the needs of those who are in need. What do these franchise churches look like? Well, they all come in different various packages. Some come in a coffee house setting where you come in and you sit down and they play some music and you have a coffee, a java, you know, kind of like going to Starbucks. You know, and just talk about anything. And you know, there's no real message in it because it's how you feel. Right? You know, Karen, it's how you feel about Jesus. What is he saying in this scripture? Well, I just feel like Jesus is tingly feeling me all in. You know, I just love his presence. Ooh, I get these holy goosebumps. Or it may be the draft that's coming through the door. Some have entertaining, well-spoken, and polished speakers that put makeup on their face. And they're sitting in front of the stage, and all these lights are shining on them. It's Hollywood Christianity at its best. Have you ever been to one of them? Oh, I've been to them. And I'm about ready to vomit. I know one of our sisters, I won't mention her name, but she said, she came back from a thing and she said, Pastor, I checked the word out that you said and it was good. And then I went to this service and I almost stood up and rebuked him because he's preaching heresy. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's like me telling you how to run your house. You know, what you want to do is tell the people what's going on there and show them in the scriptures. But after all, we don't want to offend them, right? We don't want to do that. Some have program services where what we do is we come in, we drop the kids off, they have their program. We come over here, we have Sunday school lessons. It's a program. It's not challenging too much. But, you know, what are you learning? Oh, nothing, but it was sure good. Well, we had fun. It's crafts. It's this. It's that. It's, you know, it's a motorcycle gang coming in there because we have a motorcycle club coming. It's a program to meet your needs, it's not meeting his need. Okay? Some are seeker friendly. What does that mean? It means what they do is they invite the whole community out and we're friendly. Oh, hi, how you doing? My name's Gary. Don't call me pastor. This is, you know, we're just friends here. We just get all tingly and warm when you come through the door, you know? And if you feel like being a part is, oh, we would love to have you after all. We're seeking people like you. Yes, after all. Yeah, is it enough to make you throw up? Or they carry religious rites. And what do I mean by that? They have the placard on the wall and they tell you what the songs are you're going to sing. And then the sermon is going to be 10 minutes or 15 minutes. It's really going to impact your life. After all, the pastor is so educated that you don't understand. You need a dictionary to figure out what he's talking about. He talks up here, and his message is not touching you here. Have we ever been into one of those? Thank God we've been delivered. Or it's consumer Christianity. What can I get from you and you and you? Well, after all, this church has a food pantry, so I'll just go and help myself to the food pantry. Oh, they have a clothing ministry. Well, I'll just help myself to clothing ministry. When you name the ministry, it's all about what you have in need, not what you can serve in. Have you ever been in part of that? They're out there. And thank God we are not going in that direction. Thank God it's about understanding that the franchise of Jesus Christ is a model that He has given to us, and it is exemplified all through the book of Acts. What does this apostolic church look like? It doesn't look like any of this. And I've told the guys, when we start getting religious, watch me go out the door. Because when I go out the door, I'm not coming back. You can have religion. You can have the whole nine yards. I want a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want a relationship with His people. I want to see God glorified through His people and doing the things that He's instructed us to do, not because it's a great idea. We have to be able to discern what He's talking about. Many people have this mindset that I'm going to church and I give my 1 hour, and I know when I was a kid and my parents took me to church, my father sat there and, will he ever get done? He's been speaking for 5 minutes. Man alive, I got to get out of Dodge. Whew. Now he's been talking for 7 minutes. Why can't he just make his point so I can get out of here? After all, the Phillies are on, and I don't want to miss the 1 o'clock start of the game. Well, we get out of church at 11:30. How are you going to miss it? Don't worry about it, boy. Just sit there and be quiet. Okay. And I've grown up in one of these churches, and God has delivered me from that. But we have to understand that the purpose of church, we have to understand the purpose of fivefold ministry, we have to understand the government of the church, and we have to flow in this. We have to be able to articulate the message in such a way that people begin to hunger and thirst for God, because it is embracing His kingdom, it's embracing everything about the kingdom, and us being a part of that, and us exemplifying what that means. It means, first of all, we're no longer like the world. Okay, can we agree with that? But we're no longer like franchise church. We don't want to be that. If you want that, there's the door. And I asked a couple guys, I said, have you ever been offended and challenged by me? Oh, yeah, Pastor. But when we got down to the brass tacks and we searched the scriptures, you were right. Okay. Because before you get offended, I'm offended because God's requiring something of me. So I get the privilege of getting beat up all week. You get the privilege for an hour or 30 minutes or whatever it is. Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. God is building something here that I really am so happy to see. Yesterday, I saw you guys come out and you were helping cleaning up. I was amazed because I thought the dumpster that we had was going to be large enough. And then what I found was we weren't even close to having a large enough dumpster. So now we have to order a second dumpster to finish the job on the outside, and we have to start demoing on the inside. Praise be to God, we have that need. Praise be to God, we have a building that He's given to us. Praise be to God that we're solving these problems as we go along. Praise be to God because He's doing this thing for us. It's God that's doing this, not us. We're just following after what the Spirit is telling us to do. We're not going to be like those other churches, because all those churches are filled with is a pattern that says, bless me, comfort me, and nurture me. What about Jesus' need? If all we're doing is looking to come and be a part of the church, to be blessed, to be comforted, and to be nurtured, you can stay home for that. That's what your spouse is all about. And those who are going through some tough times, they're coming here because the church rallies around them to comfort them, to nurture them, to build them up. The church rallies to do this, but that's not the specific purpose of what I'm supposed to do for you guys. My job is to train you to do the works of the ministry. That's my job. And because we've willingly took a step of faith, I did not tell you you had to, I just said, if you're willing, come across, step across. And you guys are very, very intelligent. You know this stuff before I do, because you have a relationship with God and you want to go on with God. And there's not a cookie cutter type of scenario for each person. Every person is unique and your relationship to Jesus Christ is unique. And we have to keep that in our mind. The only thing that we're conforming to is the image of Jesus Christ. If someone starts measuring their spirituality with one another, send them my way. Because I want to bow down and start worshiping them too. Because they must be Jesus Christ. Really, because I've told you this before. Our comparison is to the Lord, not to each other. We all need each other, but we're all growing at different rates. And so what we really need to do is really start pointing them to Jesus, like I do. Well, Pastor, you take it up with Him. Believe me, my argument is not with you. My argument is with God. And guess what? He's real big about... He doesn't mince words. He tells me concisely what He wants done. And then guess what? He gives me 5 minutes to figure it out. And if I don't figure it out, He leads me to someone else that I'm in relationship with to glean wisdom from. That's what it means to rightly relate within the body of Jesus Christ. Not sit over there like a franchise church or safe church or whatever other word I make up. We are to become master builders, okay? An apostle is a master builder. What he does is he is not known by his title. He is known by his function. I am not known by my title. I'm pastor. But my function is totally different. My function is prophetic. I'm just serving in this capacity till God raises up one. It could be Miss Kim. It could be Ed. It could even be Daniil. And we laugh about that. Would God use me? If you have a willing heart and want to serve God, who knows? It's not about us getting our act together and then serving God. It's about God getting our life together as we're serving God. And that's what this means about apostolic movement. It is, you know, He speaks into our life. He gives us the nuts and bolts of our lives. We implement those nuts and bolts. And then we see what God puts together for us. God's the one who does this stuff, not us. So this church is becoming a church that's going to be filled with apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, fivefold ministers. They're going to be filled. And we're going to invite some of them to our fellowship to minister to who? To you. You will get to know these guys. I sat down at Dorian Nolan's dedication party for Allie. And I just sat down. The Lord said, sit down here. Haley, Allie, whatever. We'll make up a name for the baby. Thank you. I'm original. But I apologize. Haley. I still don't get it. Give me a number. I do better with that because I can see the sequence. I see the pattern. But all of us are being raised to become master builders, whether that master builder is in a particular ministry, if it's in our own personal lives, if it's in a particular section of our marriages, our families and stuff. We are to build according to the pattern that God has given to us that is found in Scripture. Well, Pastor, I don't see it in Scripture. Because you're not looking. You're not asking God. What you want to do is put your list up there and say, God, conform me to this list. Well, let's try something new. Let's put up another list and let him fill it in and say, oh, you want me to do that? How do we do that? Because that's how I operate. I just give it to him, and he tells me what he wants to do. And it offends some people, but I can't help that. A.W. Tozer once said, how tragic that we live in a day of dark day, having seen that for us by our teachers, having our seeing done by our teachers. It's actually a seeking. Everything is made to center in the initial act of accepting Christ as a term not found in the Bible, and we are not expected thereafter to crave for further revelation of God to our souls. In other words, what has these franchise churches been doing? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you? Have you received? Do you know that's not biblical? Do you know that? It's not biblical. Well then, why are we doing things that are not biblical? Why are they not the standard that God has? The question is this. Are you part of God's kingdom? Are you part of God's kingdom? That's the question. Now it creates a thirst with people. What's he mean by kingdom? What's he mean by God's kingdom? What's he mean? Who's the king of this kingdom? Can you see the difference? And what we have done, because it's a franchise mindset, that all we're about is finding people to accept Jesus. Jesus didn't come here to be accepted. He came here to die for us. And so should we. We need to learn to die to our wants. We need to set Matthew 6:33 as our beacon. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this stuff will be added unto you. But what do? We try to fit Jesus into an already crowded schedule that we have. But who created that schedule? We did. And I'm there with you, okay? So when God says, you know what, I need boom, 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 boom to do, and the announcement goes forth, I need boom, 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 boom to do, what we try to do is we try to work our schedule to meet that need. Try a novel idea, which I did. God, you need to simplify my schedule. Are you willing to be challenged by God to simplify your schedule? Well, Nolan is now because God simplified it. Why? Because let me give you a little history of how this thing works. In October, Satan attacked me because I wasn't taking care of myself. Why? Because I was about Father's business, because the church wasn't about Father's business. So I was discombobulated for 2 months. All of a sudden, the church catches a revelation. Who's going to do pastor's job? Who's going to preach? Who's going to oversee this? Who's going to do that? Blah, 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 whatever. And I said, you are, because I'm in no condition to do it. And guess what? A miracle happened. You guys started doing it. It's a miracle. Or as some of the comedians say, it was a miracle. What happens is God had to allow the enemy to attack me because I was leading you step by step, and what he wanted to do was take a leap. And you guys stood up. You took a leap of faith. Ed was serving in a capacity as my interim to do certain things for me. I was still leading behind the scenes, but I was not taking a proactive position like I normally did. Ed got a job. He says to me, well, who's going to take over? I said, God will provide. God provided. He gave Gary half a job, and he took Nolan's away from him. I am not to return back to that that stage because that's a pastor-only model. It is not healthy. It is not what God is doing in these days. So what he's doing is now he is beginning to raise up the church to take its rightful position, which I was babyfying, and now you guys are glorifying God through things that I couldn't control. And because of it, church building is a reality. Because of what's been going on, you guys are seeking God, seeking Him on behalf of the leadership, which Peter says, pray for all men, especially leaders. Pray for your spouses, guys, so that your prayers don't become hindered. Right? We know this stuff. Do we do it? You will be. Because that's what I've been doing. And God's saying, now you're going to be going into something different. You're going to need to sit down at the school of apostolic anointing so I can teach you how to build this thing. Well, if I'm being taught how to build this, guess who's building? Yes, that's right. The Lord. No one thought, yeah, I'll take a hurrah. You better sit down, son, just like I do. We have to understand that we have successfully transitioned. We're still knocking the kinks out of what's happening. But because of your guys, because you guys are willing to do the work of the ministry, you're now prepared to begin to understand who you are in Jesus Christ. And how important it is for you to embrace the kingdom, because this is what God wants you to understand. The church of Jesus Christ is His bride. Okay? And Irene would say to me, she says, how are you going to be pastor? I said, I don't know. But one thing I do know this, is I've never been married as a bride before. I need to learn what it means to be a bride. And let's face it, ladies, you guys got it down pretty good. You can figure out your role. And because we're dunderheads, you also know what our role is. Jesus knows the same thing. He knows that some of us get it and some of us don't. And some of us have to understand this. He's our husband. He's the groom. We are the bride. He cherishes each and every one of us. And so the service that we give to the church is actually the service that's given to Him. And the rewards that he's giving to us isn't because we serve in junior church or we sit in a leaders meeting or we do something and we expect great rewards for that. That is not. All that is what the family does. It's no different than us giving our kids chores to do because that's how the family flows and functions. That's what God expects within the church that His kids do to make it flow and function. Not like the world. Our rewards come from where? How do we amass our rewards? Have you ever thought about this? Or are you still thinking about, well, one day I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account for my life? See, this is the kind of stuff I think about. We amass our rewards by engaging society. Defending the cause of Jesus Christ. Telling people why it's important to embrace the kingdom of God. He told us to go preach the gospel. Did He not? Have we preached it? How do we preach it? By living it. How do we live it? By being taught how to live it. But I have this. You're not living the kingdom because you're living your life the way you want to do it. And God is trying to orchestrate your life in such a way that it flows. He wants your life to flow in the Spirit. I had a guy the other day. He was in the dumpster. We were working over the building. And he comes out of there and I said, hey, how you doing? So he goes, oh, hi. I said, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm scrapping. I said, all I had to do was ask. I said, you know, give you a scrap. He goes, oh, you're a pretty nice guy. You know, the only type of people I meet that are pretty nice are pastors. You must be a pastor. Okay. All right, I'm a nice guy and I'm a pastor. All right. Where do you stand in the kingdom of God? Huh? Are you part of the kingdom or are you not part of the kingdom? Well, you see, it's all this other stuff. And then he got talking about the aliens and all this other nonsense. And I said, I believe in aliens. I said, we have close to 20 million of them living in this country. And then I talked about the outer space aliens and stuff. I said, I believe in that. I said, you know, I believe in angels. I believe God has created the heavens, that he didn't just create us. I believe there's other beings. That doesn't diminish who God is. If anything, we can see that he is God. He's created everybody else. I said, but he prejudices this because he created us in his image. So we're his kids. Oh, that's great. That's nice. And he got in his truck and left. It's fine. It's okay. I am here to tell you, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I know what my life was about before I got myself committed to Jesus Christ. Before I became a disciple of Jesus Christ. You want to preach this message? I'm not going there. But this is the time for you guys to begin to start pressing into God. I'm really busy. I know you are. But what you need to do is submit to God. You know, we talk about prayer. We talk about Bible study. And I'm not thumping anybody. I know your schedules are busy and stuff like that. But don't you think it's about time you start prioritizing God and what he wants and how he wants to do it? You see, when we go into the building and everything that's going in here, because we don't train our kids that this is a holy place, guess what we're training them when we get in there? It'll be too late. It'll be too late. And the people will look at you, and God has already told me, he says, prepare for the grumbling and complaining. He's already told me that this is going to come. And I want to tell you in a nice way that we need to train up our kids in the way they should go. We need to train them in the fear of the Lord. Not because we're being mean, but because he's made us parents. We can be their friends after they grow up. Grown up, maybe 15, 18, 19 years of age. We can be their friends. But we need to train them. We need to show them how to do things in excellence. We need to give them chores to do, simple things that they want to do, and take advantage of their willingness to serve. Because guess what? They want to be like mommy. They want to be like daddy. But we need to teach them that we want to be like Jesus. And we're not there yet. We haven't arrived. And we have all these things that we're doing in our lives. And you guys are doing a great job. I don't want you to hear the negative and me not brag on you. You guys are doing a good job. But now it's to take it to the next level. Because we're going to have people that don't know anything about anything. I talked to a fella who was my first pastor's son. And I began to talk to him about being a dangerous man and what God's looking for. Now, mind you, this guy was a wild kid at 14, 15 years of age. And he has lived his whole life like that. And I said to him, and I looked him square in the eyes, and I said, Tom, don't you think God has a better plan for your life than what you've wasted so far? And he put his head down, and he goes, yeah. I said, Streams is not going to be your father's church. Streams is going to raise you up so you become dangerous. That's what God's looking for. Said, he has told me he's going to give me 30 men that are going to be dangerous, just like he gave David. David had 30 men. And if you read the account, they could use any weapon with either hand. That's dangerous. You know, I saw a movie the other day, Wayne's World 2, where he was using the sword, and you know, and he was and his pants were all sliced up, you know. But he wants to train us in the things of the Spirit, so that we don't get sliced and diced, but we're weapons in his hand that he can cut those things off from people's lives to set them free. And that's really what it's about, guys. You know, it's not about me telling you what to do. You're free to do, but I'm telling you what God is demanding of us. And you have a choice. You can say, Pastor, I'm going to franchise church. And I'll say, God bless you. But you're missing it. As you know, Jess has found out there's something different about what God's doing here. And she went to another church and she sees. I remember when Miss Kim came to Streams and she said, Pastor, God told me to be here. Okay, this is what you need to do to be here. And she did it. She followed the instructions. She did it. She came with a blessing. Other people have said, God has told me I need to be here or do this or whatever. And when I instruct them what they need to do, they don't come back. Why? Because they don't want to do what God's told them to do. How sad. They'll go around the mountain. And some people go around the mountain a lot. They have no idea of the purpose for their lives, the plan that God has for their lives. And let me tell you, it's going to be awesome. You guys are already awesome. And when he starts moving through your lives, the difficulties that you've gone through won't matter. Because there's more difficulties we're going to go through. But we're going to go through it together. God has said to me, I'm not going to be preaching to the masses. I'm going to be preaching to a remnant. Because a remnant is all that's going to come off this planet. A few people are going to leave this planet. So, next week I'm going to be talking about embracing the kingdom and what that means. I hope you've been encouraged. I hope you've been challenged a little bit. I hope you understand the difference between a franchise or a safe church thing. I hope you understand that's Hadley over there. I know, I did that on purpose. But you know what? You guys still love me, and that's okay. And Ken, you can erase that off the tape so she doesn't listen to it. Oh, you mispronounced my name again. It's okay. She's giving me the death look. I'm going to tear you apart, Pastor. Okay. Right on. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you, God, that we can enjoy your Spirit. We can enjoy everything. Lord God, it's important that we have fun, that we understand what's going on. And that even Haley, Lord God, is integral in everything that you do for us. Lord, cause us to be one. Cause us to be unified. Cause us to really start whipping into shape everything, because it depends on how we present the gospel, because we only get one time to make a first impression, God. And Father, I ask that you walk with us, God. You lead us by your Spirit. Show us, God. Be patient with us, Father. Because we don't readily pick up what you're trying to convey. But Holy Spirit, don't leave us or forsake us. But lead us into the deeper water. We want this to be a great church. We want this to be your church, God. And we want to be the church that ushers in the tsunami of the Spirit and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you in all things, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.